This morning, we've been focusing on our young people, our graduates. And in a video clip here this morning, there is some people who have made a difference in the world. A lot of them made quotes. Helen Keller, for one, that you would see up there, she was blind from birth, I guess you know. And she's talking about it's one thing to be blind, not be able to see. But it's another thing to not have vision in life. Talking about your dreams and things you hope to accomplish. So watch this video clip and hope that you will gain some wisdom from it. Lost sound, but it's still going. Jimmy, you could relate to that one, couldn't you? Laying bricks, foundation, yeah. Okay, if any of you go to college and study electronics, maybe you want to figure out some of these glitches that we're having problem with. So it happens, and we're still working on it, getting all the bugs. All right, take your Bibles this morning, and we want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14, 15, 16, and see what Paul has to say encouraging Timothy, and we want to encourage you as well. Because many of you were brought up in the church, in a Christian home, and you not only were taught here at church by your Sunday school teachers, but your family, your parents, maybe grandparents, or someone has been a mentor to you in life. So, you know, once you think you made it through you know, like grammar school and middle school and then all the way through high school, guess what? You got to start all over again. A new chapter, a new beginning. But it's fun. It's challenging, isn't it? So you can look around at all these adults, and we've been down the road to in education, college, and all that, and then it starts a new chapter. So never get tired of studying and learning, and make an impact in the world. So we want to look at the first verse here, which is verse 14. Which says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom, and we've been talking about wisdom this morning, that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 16, Paul says that all Scripture is inspired, but in some translations it says, breathe, God breathe. That means that the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, spoke the words whether audibly or through their hearts and minds to write everything that we have in the Word of God for our instruction. So it says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So the Scriptures tells us what we ought to be doing, not only as an adult, young people, children, and so forth. And we are to have wisdom. And you have learned a lot, haven't you, from your childhood, from going from maybe preschool and kindergarten, elementary, and so forth. And sometime it reminds me of Joe and Bill were talking. And was talking about their colleges. And Joe told Bill, he said, you know what? My college turned out some great men. And Bill said, well, where did you go to college? He said, well, he said, which college did you graduate from? He said, well, I didn't graduate. The college just turned me out. Well, you've been turned out, and you've been successful, and you've turned out great. And you have learned from teachers, and you have probably learned from your parents, and parents, you've learned from them, haven't you? You've learned some things from your young people, from your son or daughter. I know I did, and some of the things was kind of on the disciplinary side, but I did learn, and so did they. Reminds me of Kyle. Kyle had received his report card. And up in the right-hand corner, it said, well, it had a F in dark red. So he gets up, he walks up to his teacher, and he says, if I was you, I would change this F to a passing grade. Why, you still have time. And the teacher said, oh, well, why would you say that? Well, my dad said the next time I brought a report card home with a failing grade on it, somebody was going to get a beating. So I don't know if that's wisdom or not. It didn't work with me, did it? You? Oh, but think about all the things in life that has helped you to learn, the wisdom that you have grown. And not only do you have gained wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but sometimes teachers do, don't you? Reminds me of this teacher who had, during the summertime, while out of school, he had hurt his shoulder, injured his shoulder, and he had to be put into a plaster cast all summer long. 6 weeks he had to wear that. But it was a plaster cast type cast chest that he could wear his shirt over. So he wore a shirt over it all summer, and it wasn't very noticeable. Actually, you couldn't even notice it. Well, when it come time to start back to school, he had been assigned to a different school, the most rowdiest school, toughest school that he could have been assigned to. So the first day of school, of course, he put on his shirt over his plaster cast. He's still wearing it. He walks into the classroom, and of course, it was noisy, and all the kids was being rowdy and loud. So he walks over to the window, and he opens it up as far as he could open it and propped it, and went on back to his desk and sat down and got busy doing desk work. All of a sudden, a strong breeze came flying through the window, and it made his tie start flapping. Well, he took his tie and he placed it there, and he grabbed his stapler and he stapled that tie to his chest. Well, guess what? He had no disciplinary problems the rest of the year. So teachers, you can learn something there. I don't know if you want to try there or not. Make sure you got a plaster cast on your chest for protection. But I wanted to share some interesting facts about your life. I got thinking about all of this, where you've been, where you've gone, and so forth. So, for instance, you have been in school now for 2,160 days. Did it seem like it? Did it seem like you've been? Yeah. It would, wouldn't it? You have spent 12,960 hours in classes. That translates to 777,600 minutes. So far, you've lived approximately 18 years. Is that correct? 17, 18 years? You've been around 216 months. You've been breathing 936 weeks. You've been going through the motions for 6,552 days. You've been here 157,248 hours. You've been taking up space. 9,434,880 minutes. You've slept 52,500 hours. Does it feel like it? You've watched TV 12,173 hours. You spent 7,488 hours eating, and mostly pizza. Is that right? If you live the average lifespan of 70 years, and on the biblical term for that is 70, you sleep 24 years, you work 14 years, you play 8 years, and you eat 6 years, you drive 5 years, you talk 4 years, you go to school 16, including college, 4 years. You've been sick 3 years. How many of you realize you've been sick for 3 years over your lifespan? You studied and read 3 years, and most of you were born in the 90s, right? So, when you were born, guess what? You were wrinkled, you were red, you were bald, you were toothless, you couldn't hardly see, you was crying, you was hungry, you was complaining, and you had no clothes on. Well, you've come a long ways, haven't you, since then? You've reached a milestone, but this is not the end. It's really the beginning, and it is to be continued on. You come in the end of a big episode. You're finishing high school, But just before the credits roll across the screen, flashes words, "To be continued." John Adams said, "There are two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living, and the other's how to live." So this morning, there are two kinds of courses in life: required courses and electives. Now, when you get into college, you're going to see there's are always required courses and there are electives. You may not like the required, but you got to take them, and also electives. I remember when I graduated from seminary, a lot of my classes shifted and so forth. And when I graduated, I had to go in and see my advisor. And my advisor sat down and says, "Why in the world did you take all of these electives?" Because I said, "I wanted to." Because they were the things that I really wanted to do in life and in ministry and so forth. So I took all the electives. So I probably had more electives, as many or more, as I did required courses. But you have a choice when it comes to that. But I want you to think about this. On the required courses, there is life. Life. You know, you've got no choice where, when, and who are your parents. You know, it's like walking into a cemetery and you see the grave markers and you see a person's name and you see when they was born and then you see when they die. And if sometimes we forget the obvious, sometimes we forget to look at that dash in the middle between the birth and death. It's what you do in the midst with that dash that's really going to count in life. Live your life. And I want to encourage you to live your life and make the Lord a priority in your life. You're going to be involved in a lot of things. A lot of things are going to be a distraction to you. A lot of things are going to be helpful to you. There's a lot of things that won't be helpful to you, and those things you do want to avoid. But you're going to be living. And if you go away to college and you're going to be living on campus or something like that, don't forget where your heritage came from. Like Paul was telling Timothy, you know, don't forget what you have learned at home. Don't forget what you've learned at church. Don't forget what you've learned in school that has helped you to get where you are today. And when we think about that life is so precious, you know, death does occur in our life. And it started with Adam. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22, it says, "In Adam we all die." So we do live, but there is death also. And all of us has to walk through the valley of the shadow. In Psalms 23, verse 4, the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And what David is saying there's times there's going to be struggles. There are going to be hardships in your life. You're going to go through those valleys, the shadows that surround you in your life. But David said, you know, even though we do that, the Lord, the shepherd, is with us. Remember that life is going to be tough sometime. I mean, it's going to be great, and the greatness will override the hardships and the struggles that we have in life. But don't forget where your roots were started in life. And then it says that it is appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. So just remember, you know, it makes a difference how we live our life as young people. It makes a difference how we live. And this is for everybody that's here today, just not for our young people. It makes a difference how we live our life. Because this life, as long as we think it is, whether we're 1 year old till we're 99, it makes a difference, the impact that we make, the difference we make in other people's life. And then in there's a judgment. After this life, there's a judgment at some point in time. Whenever God chooses, there will be a judgment in our life. Judgment seat of Christ. That means that we'll all stand before the Lord one of these days, and we'll be evaluated what we have done. And it won't be so much everything that we've done in the secular world, but what have we done for Him? Whose life have we made a difference in? And that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, Timothy, what you've been taught by your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, you carry this with you through life. Because he said, this is what's going to count. This is what's going to make a difference, not only in your life, but with others' life. And guess what? There's other children's stuff here sees you as role models. Sees you as heroes in their life. They've seen you on the basketball court. They've seen you out there running around the track. They've seen you doing a lot of things. And that's good that you've been involved in all of this school activities and sports and things like that. And those things had helped build your character and your attitude in life. So those things you has helped you where you are today. Now, when we come to elective courses, and this is what Paul is telling Timothy this morning. In the verse, it says that it gives you wisdom, it gives you understanding about how you can be saved. And many of you may have already made that decision. You've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Paul is saying, Timothy, the Scriptures can make you wise. They can give you understanding, even unto salvation. There's a nature. Think about nature. It forms us. Sin deforms us. School informs us, but only Christ can transform our lives. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we be in Christ, if we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So, Romans chapter 12 says that we are transformed in the likeness of Christ. So, I want to help you to understand this morning as well as myself. You know, we can be formed in so many different ways. We can be formed by nature, and we can be disformed by sin. And school informs us, but only Christ can inform us or transform us to a good living. And then you have the elective choice to be spiritual or carnal. It reminds me, as I think about Jimmy, you know, he's a good example of someone who walked the narrow and straight path. Because he was always looking to be more spiritual, to learn more. And even myself, I learned from Jimmy. I learned because I saw his heart. And I don't know if you saw some of the pictures of Jimmy when he was a young boy. He was a handsome young man, wasn't he? He really was. And Jimmy chose the spiritual nature over the carnal nature. Because I talked with Jimmy. And Jimmy said, my ultimate desire is to please the Lord. And I said, I don't think you're having any problem there, Jimmy. I don't think you're having any problem at all. And he was always concerned that he was do something wrong or say something to somebody that will hurt their feelings. I said, Jimmy, you've never hurt my feelings. You've always been encouraging to me. So you see, Jimmy, in his elective courses, he elected to do the things that God smiled upon. And I believe that's why Jimmy was always smiling, because he was wanting to please the Lord. He was looking for the elective of choice of pleasing the Lord with the spiritual things and not the carnal. And to be scriptural or be logical. And that's something I want to talk to you. Even in the best colleges for Bible studies or theology or the seminary, you know, you can get distracted from the spiritual things or the scriptural things to the logical things. You know, sometimes we think logical. Well, this seems more logical that I do this. And you may be thinking, well, this is because everybody else is doing it, so it has to be good. And young people, don't get torn and pulled in that direction. Don't do it just because it seems logical. Line up that logical with the spiritual things of what God's Word says. And if you're going to have a textbook at college or anywhere, make sure you have the main textbook, the Word of God, with you. So that as you're studying, and they may put a book in front of you, it's got evolution in it, it's probably coming to that's going to be a required course in college and universities. So turn to Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Not through evolution, but he out of void. What I'm saying this morning, young people, and adults as well, because the way Satan or the way the world does can twist something just a little bit, and it looks so convincing, it seems so logical. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, the Scriptures, then leave it alone. Walk away from it and say, no, I won't have any part of that. That's humanism at its best. And then to be safe in God's will or in your own. So you're going to have a lot of people back here at home praying for you. We pray for you on a regular basis, a daily basis. We pray for you. And we pray that God will keep you safe. And that you will listen to the voice of God in your heart and in your mind, and not always go with your own feelings or your own will. Make decisions, make choices that you think, what would Jesus do? How would he handle this situation? How would he respond? How could he help my behaviors or my habits and things like that? How can he get me through this? Ask God, and he will help you each step of the way. So be safe in God's will, not your own. But continue in the things that thou have learned, what Paul says here. Go the distance, stay the course, fight the good fight, and finish the course. That's what 2 Timothy 4:7 says. And in Psalms 23, it says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. And David uses that analogy. The rod was a tool that would stun or even annihilate an animal that might be attacked. And the staff is something that he used to help the sheep, to guide the sheep, to lead the sheep, to support the sheep. And he says, they comfort me. This comforts me. So lean upon the Lord. That's why David wrote this, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And when he says, I don't want, I shall not want. He said, I really don't need anything else in life as long as I have the shepherd directing me. You know, we need a lot of things in life, but our main source, our resource, is our Heavenly Father. And that's why David said, I need you. I need you, Lord. You're my shepherd, and I shall not want or need anything. I will not depend upon anything else. So when you look at this particular verse, it's the fourth blessing from the Lord leading. And its leading is protection. And you know, if you find yourself in the valley of deep darkness or the shadows of death, as this verse says, David says, you shall not fear. The Lord is with you. He will protect you. The rod and the staff, the shepherd equipment to protect the sheep in such situations. And David was comforted by the Lord's presence and His protection. Believers are never in a situation the Lord is not aware of. And then in Hebrews 13:5 it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're ever sitting in your room or alone or discouraged, maybe a bad grade or something just didn't go right for you that day, just remember the Lord is with you. He'll never forsake you. And all you have to do is call upon Him. And He will give you comfort. He will give you peace. And guess what? He'll put a big smile on your face. Just think of Jimmy. Say, what would Jimmy do? He would smile about it because he was always assured that Jesus was in control of his life. He's in control of all of our lives, whether or not we realize it or not. But He wants full control. He wants us to yield to Him daily. If you will do that, you will have a successful life with less circumstances and situations to pull you down. And just remember, we're praying for you. You'll be in our prayers. We're always here. Everyone that's graduated since I've been here, I've always told you, and I tell you too, not only am I your pastor, but I want to be your friend. You can call me anytime, day or night. If you need assistance, you need help, or need guidance, or an ear, okay? I'm here for you, okay? God bless you. We love you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had this morning. It's been a celebration for our young people. They still got a few days and a few weeks to go before graduation. But Lord, help them to be reminded that You're on their side. And if they've accepted You as their personal Savior, then they are Your child as well. You're their Heavenly Father. Or anyone that's here today, Lord, that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, Lord, today is a wonderful day to say yes to Your Holy Spirit, to walk this aisle and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for the moving of Your Spirit. We thank You that You're active and You want to work in and through our lives. You want to live through our lives on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Lord, we praise You and we thank You in the precious name of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.